everyone. It's Chris from The Red Debate here, and I'm joined by Tom for our first ever video podcast. So for our podcast listeners, check us out on YouTube as well. We're taking a slightly different approach to what we normally do. Seeing as we've been absolutely rampant of late, we're going to take a trip down memory lane.
Love it.
But first, as you can see, we've got some beers in front of us here. So we've actually got ourselves a sponsor for the first ever video podcast. So Tom, do you want to explain a bit more?
Yep. So we're pleased to have paired with Beer 52, who are a craft beer club. They've kindly sent us 8 beers here in what's the Boston box. And they've given listeners an opportunity to join their craft beer club, basically. So you can sign up for a free crate of craft beer, and all you got to do is pay $5.95 postage, exclusively for the Red Debate listeners. So basically, all you got to do is head to beer52.com/theRedDebate. Beer 52 is beer, obviously, 52.com/theRedDebate. We will put hyperlinks on our website and across all the various social media channels. But about the guys at Beer 52, so they're the world's most popular monthly craft beer discovery club, searching out incredible and exclusive small batch craft beers from the world's greatest breweries and bringing them back for their members. So this box in front of us is the Boston box, which we are going to tuck into later. But the box on offer for listeners is going to be the Career box. So as part of Beer 52's Career Month, they've headed over to some of Korea's greatest breweries, and they've got for you the Boods Blackcurrant Milkshake IPA, Magpie with their incredible Daydream Oatmeal IPA, and a special Beer 52 and Korea collab with their One Day, One Korea Ginseng and Sancho Saison. Like darker
Sounds
beers,
exotic.
Get yourself the mixed case. Like lighter beers, like I do, get the light case. It's easy. Sounds pretty good, eh?
Yeah, not bad.
So included in the box, you'll also be able to read about all the beers and learn a bit more about how they're made, etc. In their 100-page Ferment magazine, which they include in the box. So as I say, head over to our website or just head to beer52.com/theRedDebate and get your first crate for free. All you got to do is pay the postage, $5.95, and you get an incredible 8 craft beers, the magazine, and a snack delivered next day shipping. No brainer.
Not bad. And the box is over in the corner,
the box
just
is there.
So this is the Boston box. But yeah, let's crack on.
Thanks again to Beer 52. Yep.
Thank you again. So Tom, since our last podcast, the boys are now jetted out to Dubai post Palace. Still top of the league, which is always good. And the Ox has sent the Twitter into some sort of meltdown slash frenzy.
Yeah, we knew specifically Liverpool Twitter loved Naby Keita. I wasn't prepared for how much Liverpool Twitter seemed to love Oxlade.
I actually think I'm a little bit obsessed with him. I've watched that video of him training and like doing the headies and stuff.
I mean, Twitter wasn't even certain it was him initially. There was rumours going around, is it Curtis Jones? And then people are saying, like, turn the volume up. They hear old... what's his name? Cronmeyer go, go on, Ox.
I have to say, I shared the video before even confirming it
was
him.
Yeah, same.
And then when you said, is it Curtis Jones? I thought, fuck, what have I done?
Do I need to delete it?
Yeah. Oh, dear. So morale's high in the camp and among fans.
Very
so let's start with, start this trip down memory lane with a bit of a lighthearted one. What I'm going to do is I'm going to fire out some questions to you.
All right.
Test your memory a little bit.
go easy.
A couple of them will be lighthearted. A couple of them will just be, you know, like best memories on.
I had a bit of a think around this because I knew we were going down memory lane. So I've got some loaded, not loaded.
Well, let me fire off a bit of a lighthearted one to start with. Worst Barnet since you've been a Liverpool fan?
What, my personal worst hairdo that I have had?
That you're for Liverpool, a Liverpool player.
It's got to be El Hadj Diouf. First one to come to mind.
Is
wasn't
it?
Into it. Not liking El Hadj Diouf either.
Oh, he's a
yours?
Despicable man. Mine has to be Voronin. I honestly disliked him before he even stepped on the pitch.
See, this is the thing, isn't it? We've both named players we don't like as well.
Christian Poulsen was up there for me as well.
Poulsen. See, yeah. I quite like Poulsen's Barnet.
See, I actually didn't mind Poulsen as the player, but I hated the Barnet.
Seriously?
Yes.
I'm the other way around.
Fair enough. So we've done worst Barnet. Who do you think the worst player to have played for Liverpool since we've been fans is to have ever pulled on the shirt?
Worst player to have ever played for us? What, in a one-off? Because we've had some howler goalkeepers.
Oh, yeah. Anyone to pull on a shirt in a competitive game?
I mean, this probably isn't the answer you were expecting or after, but Emiliano Insua is the player I've liked the least. Now, I'm not saying he was the worst, but I honestly hated Insua by the end of his career. Having started at a point where I was very pro Insua. Having watched a lot of LFC TV reserve games and stuff, hyped him. Then he came in, became a semi-regular, and I was just like, what have I wished for? This kid's awful.
So I am quite surprised with that answer.
Fair enough. I could go Patrice Lutzy instead.
Patrice Lutzy was on my list. That team in 2005, although we won the Champs League,
they had some horror shows.
Looking back on that, some absolute cowboys. I actually went for Charles Atanji.
Very fair. Again,
he was also hated by the Liverpool
fans.
He's
not endeared himself to the fan base at all for his Hillsborough.
But he was absolutely appalling as well.
Peggy Olpexad. We've had a few goalkeepers.
Jesus. All right. So moving on, your most disappointing player. So someone you've had high hopes for who you've just really failed to deliver.
I'm going to go with Alberto Aquilani.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though we signed him injured?
Signed him injured, came with a high weight of expectancy, supposedly Alonso's replacement, again, pulled strings in the reserves, and was awful. He just didn't work.
He did score a bicey against Portsmouth.
He scored a bicey against Pompey, yeah. Wait, was this bicey against Pompey or Arsenal?
I think it was Pompey.
He went through
three games of being actually quite good.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? He played against Atletico Madrid in the Europa as well. Yeah.
I've got a couple, I have to say, but my main one is probably Morientes. I thought when we signed him, we've got one of the most elite strikers in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Big pedigree, decent Champions League record, and he was fucking dreadful.
He was, wasn't he? Did you see that picture that Luis Garcia put up of the throwback?
It was amazing.
All the boys out on holiday in Korea, and Morientes was in there. I remember looking at that picture, that was that transition between 05 and 06. When we had the 05 Champs League winners, and then we picked up, obviously Cissé was coming back from injury and did play, but we had Cissé, Morientes, Momo Sissoko, and then all the 05 boys. And I was just around then, I just remember thinking, we're class.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I thought Morientes was going to be brilliant. But talking of those
boys, some of them were a bit of like cult hero status. Mm. Who do you think the shittest player who you've actually loved is?
Titi Kamara. Titi Kamara. Remember that? He was rubbish.
You absolutely loved him.
I love Titi Kamara.
Who do you think mine, I'm going to say? There's a clear winner. Yeah. He's absolutely
rubbish. Suso's really good now, and you loved him, even though he wasn't.
He's
really
of the same caliber.
Danny Pacheco.
Has to be Danny Pacheco. I think I watched, I literally tuned in to reserve games.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, I probably shouldn't say this on air, but I once booked myself a meeting room at work to watch a reserve game to
at
see
work,
Pacheco.
Where we are now.
Not where we are now. So my previous employer's apologies.
Quality. I actually saw Danny
Pacheco banged in a free kick as well.
So did he?
It was worth it.
I feel like I can still hear Jonathan Bradley's voice on LFC TV saying Pacheco, like hyping me up about Danny Pacheco.
He was one of those ones that was, he was far too good for the reserve team.
Yeah, he was.
Just not good enough.
Yeah, he was.
So Pacheco, I still got fond memories of
him. Is Harry Wilson in that territory?
No, because he's not shit.
No. I saw Pacheco play at Frampton. Well, he didn't come on, actually. I saw Pacheco when he was on loan at Norwich after he kind of failed with Liverpool. He didn't come on against Pompey. I think there's probably your answer in terms of decline. Pacheco went down and down, didn't he, really?
He had a couple of opportunities.
I saw his Champions League debut at Anfield, actually, against Fiorentina. And have barely willed on a youth team player as much as that until now with Harry Wilson. But
well, Harry's got... he can't really get much worse than Pacheco, can he?
No.
All right, well, let's move on to one of the big hitters. Best goal. This is obviously a very tough one, but I'm looking for your not necessarily the best goal, but your favourite goal.
My favourite goal? What are you in terms of...
Just what's your... If I said to you, what's the best goal we've scored since you've been a fan? What's the first goal that comes into your mind?
The first one that comes to mind on a technical level is the Suarez one against Newcastle, where he takes it down in his chest, rounds the keeper, and
more,
puts it in
more so
with almost
than
no
Gerrard
space.
V Olympiacos.
Suarez is the first one that comes to mind.
Really?
Honestly.
That's interesting.
I love that goal. Love that goal.
Fair play.
Yeah.
Mine... So when I was thinking about this last night, I thought the one that continually pops into my head... And I'm probably biased because I love the kid, but it's the Sturridge chip v West Brom.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say the severe one for a second then when you said
the outside
Sturridge.
Of the boot.
Yeah. Oh, I know you love that
goal.
There's
many goals that I could have picked from Danny Sturridge, but
yeah,
for me, that was just it was just talent and arrogance.
Yeah, it was
back
fantastic.
In his heyday.
For new listeners on YouTube or new viewers on YouTube, all you need to do is listen back to one or two of our previous podcast episodes to hear how big a fan of Sturridge Chris is.
That's
Has he scored his last goal for the Reds?
No.
You don't reckon he has? You reckon he'll score again?
Yes, and I think it'll be a vital one.
See, when we, at the beginning of the season, after pre-season, we recorded the Sturridge individual episode about him and made predictions on how many goals he was going to score. We went for around eight. We made a bet on it, didn't we? I think you said seven and I said eight.
And he's on four?
He's around that mark. But anyway, I remember making that bet at the time and thinking, wow, I overcooked that one. There's no way he's going to score eight. But he definitely could.
Yeah, he definitely could. I feel that if we're going to go on and win the league, someone like him will need to do something special at some stage.
Do you know what? If we do go on to win the league, let's say we were sitting in this position in 5 years' time or whatever, recording a similar Memory Lane podcast, you could quite easily reflect on his goal against Chelsea from this season. Yeah. It's one of your best.
It was huge.
It was fantastic as well, yeah.
It was huge. And those kind of moments, that and like the Origi goal against Everton in the derby, not quite the same.
It's the most laughable goal I've ever seen.
But still,
I was laughing.
There are moments where your boys like Origi and Sturridge are going to have to step up.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so the Suarez one for me. Any number of Luis Suarez goals for me.
Yeah, that was phenomenal. Yeah. Well, even the ball. The ball doesn't get enough credit.
The Jose Enrique Raker, yeah.
But yeah, phenomenal goal. All right, favourite player?
Now, this is one that we've answered. I answered this sort of in part on Twitter. My childhood hero.
I think I know what you're
going to say. Yeah, my childhood hero will always be Robbie Fowler. Nothing will shake
that. That wasn't what I thought you were going to say.
Fair enough. My Suarez is definitely the most electric player. I think probably...
Yeah, but most loved, during I'm looking
a forward. Yeah, during a time in which I really loved football. It's different now. We're 30 years old. You don't love players in the same way. Like Gerrard is the cover all bases answer really to that, but I think Torres is probably the player I love the most. I was properly in love with Torres 2008.
I thought you might go for Virgil.
Well, so this is the question I answered on Twitter actually. I said Virgil is fast becoming my favourite. I think if we win this league, then yeah, Virgil's going to be in the conversation. Yeah, yours?
Mine would be Xabi Alonso, without a shadow of a doubt. Him or, very strangely, and I'm not going to go into it, but Harry Kewell. I had a strange love affair. It was almost sick. I almost got tattooed.
You nearly got a Kewell
Harry Kewell 7 on my shoulder blade. Thank fuck he didn't score.
Oh, I wish you'd done that. I wish you'd done that. Didn't score?
Yeah, it was if he scored in the Champs League final, and he went off after 17 minutes, didn't he? I was kind of happy.
I've forgotten how much you loved Harry Kewell.
I loved him, but Xabi Alonso, hands down, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it's just the kid can't do anything wrong in my eyes. Most underrated player?
Emil Heskey, for me.
Really?
Emil Heskey, yeah.
He's a player, yeah.
I can see cameraman James pulling faces.
Cameraman James is not liking that.
See, this is why cameraman James is a bit younger than us. So cameraman James would have caught the tail end of Heskey's career when people were slating him, particularly in the England squad and at Wigan, at Birmingham and so on. Prime Heskey, when we first got him, 2001, he was phenomenal.
Yeah, the Heskey Owen partnership.
And he doesn't get enough credit for that. The Heskey Owen partnership, James. Were you born then?
Yeah, the Heskey Owen partnership was special. Yeah. And he doesn't get enough credit for that because his role was vital to Owen's...
He was key.
...goal-scoring record.
Yeah, Robbie Fowler talks about it in his autobiography, saying how for Julia it was basically Heskey plus one.
Yeah,
when you would look at that squad with Lippmann and Fowler, Owen and Heskey, and you'd probably say Owen plus one, but yeah.
Strange, isn't it? Because he's one of those players who, similar to Henderson, who we have now, just whatever he does, he just can't escape like getting savagely abused.
Real criticism, yeah. He even talks about the game relatively well now as well. I mean, not that he's in the media a great deal, but the odd occasion in which you hear from him and Heskey, I just like him as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crouchy? He wasn't underrated, was he? I love Crouchy. To be fair, Peter Crouch was a little bit underrated for us.
Well, he didn't score for bloody ages, did he?
He went about 18 games without a goal.
I love Crouchy as well, for similar reasons, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so to put a bit of context on that, Peter Crouch has his own podcast.
Yeah,
that
superb.
Peter Crouch podcast.
Yeah, very, very good.
For Liverpool fans like ourselves, I'd strongly recommend listening to it because there's so many little bits of insight.
Yeah, it's the anecdotes like about Bolo's former teammates and stuff.
Combing his pubes and stuff.
Yeah. Just
unbelievable. I honestly was crying with laughter.
Yeah, it was so funny. So, in fact, Crouchy mentions Steve Finnan
as being
an incredibly underrated player. Yeah. He said Steve Finnan was fantastic. They're apparently still good mates. Although Finan seems to have disappeared off the face of the earth, doesn't he? But apparently they're still
mates. Is he even alive? Like
Crouchy thinks so.
Fair play. Yeah. Fair play, Crouchy.
Who's yours?
Oh. I really found
underrated.
Yeah, underrated. I found it quite hard to think of one here because I would say someone like Glenn Johnson.
Yeah.
But at times he wasn't underrated. People did actually think that he was very good.
Yeah.
But
he's another like, one who's
his retirement reaction, I think, says it all that you put out, didn't you, the other day, that formerly one of the best left backs and right backs in the world.
I genuinely stand by that. And I was expecting to, but we got some criticism for that on Twitter.
A lot, though.
A lot of criticism.
I think people forget quite how good he was back in the day.
The
it
season
wasn't
before
for a very
we signed
long
him.
Spell, but...
Yeah. The season before we signed him for Portsmouth, he was phenomenal. I mean, he wasn't always a right back that season. He played right wing a lot of it, but that season he was incredible. And for a couple of years for us, he was so potent going forwards. Like,
yeah.
Really
well,
good.
Yeah. Talking about potency, I also wrote Dirk Hout.
Yeah.
Who I think a lot of people... would say he had a good Liverpool career, but particularly non-Liverpool fans I speak to about Dirk Hout would see him as like he wasn't quite good enough up front,
so
we converted him to a winger.
Yeah,
if you look at his stats and the importance of the team, he was a brilliant player for
us. He really was. He'd probably be the answer that Liverpool fans would give in comparison to United fans, saying someone like Park Ji-sung.
Yeah.
Who, if you asked me, I wouldn't have Park Ji-sung anywhere near any of my teams, but Ferguson picked him continually for a reason.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, there's something to that player that you watch regularly.
Managers love players.
Yeah,
like
exactly,
that,
exactly. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Most overrated player?
Ooh.
I'm gonna. I'll start. My controversial view of Naby Keita.
Oh God.
I know it's current.
Here we go.
And he's got a long way to go. But considering the amount of praise he does for anything good, he's possibly the most disappointed, apart from Fernando Morientes, I've ever been with a Liverpool signing.
Do you not think it's too hasty to say that, though? Because we live in a generation where absolutely everything they do is scrutinised. Like, let's say Aquilani, let's say Twitter was as it was, or social media was as it was then, to what it is now. Someone like Aquilani would have been under far greater, sterner microscope than he was. And I'm not using Aquilani as an example of someone who we criticised over heavily, because it turned out to be probably justified, but...
I can't believe that there's a player that's just sprung to my mind. Iago Aspas. I can't believe I didn't even think of him before. He was that bad for us.
Yeah.
I forgot he actually played for us. Jesus.
Yeah, Aspas was disappointing. But we're talking about overrated.
Overrated, yeah. So I'm going to chuck out Keita to start with.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to throw Didi Haman into the mix.
Yeah, valid. I liked Haman a lot.
Yeah, I also quite liked him. But I do feel like he was in that German team that was very good, and obviously we had a lot of success under him where we won the Champions League.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I feel like his position was elevated from playing alongside the likes of Gerrard.
Agree. I don't think he'd get anywhere near this team.
No way. And I don't think he would have gotten any of the other top teams in the world at that time.
Mm, yeah. I mean, I did like Haman, but I see what you mean. Because when you think about your answer to this question, and this is how I've arrived at mine, you think about, like, you know, you see people write down their all-time greatest Liverpool 11s, and you do occasionally see people putting Haman in those sorts of teams.
It's mental.
It is mental. The answer I'm going to give, and I actually like the bloke, but my answer is Risa. You see Risa appear in those all-time best 11s for quite a lot, but Risa was poor for me. As a left-back, anyway.
Yeah, it's that. He's one of those players that, similar to what I feel about Paul Pogba, he's a moments player.
This
you
is
look
the thing.
Back at his highlights, he'll score the odd screamer. But his general play, he wasn't a world-class left-back.
No. When Julio used him as a left midfielder, he was decent. And ironically, that's where a lot of his highlight reel moments come from. But you go on YouTube and you see, you know, five fantastic Risa screamers and people are like, oh, fantastic left-back. Not for me.
Yeah.
Aurelio was much more sturdy for me.
Fabi was, he was actually one of my favourite.
not sturdy on injury.
Yeah,
terms,
not on his muscles, but he was one of my favourite left
you
backs.
You loved
Aurelio. I loved him. All right, best celebration. There's been quite a few here that like quite controversial ones.
Best celebration.
Yeah.
God, my favourite celebration. I remember being at Anfield in about it was the 2000-2001 season. Do you remember when Gerrard scored that long ranger against Southampton?
Yes.
And he went like just. Yeah. Podcast listeners can't see what I'm doing, but there's an emoji that's doing the same figure. He's like shrugging with his hands up.
Yeah, and what?
and it was just kind of like, I'm fucking brilliant.
Yes, he is.
I love that.
I was thinking more along the lines of some controversial ones.
Yeah, yeah.
The most controversial one. What was the most controversial one?
Robbie Fowler sniffing a line of coke.
Do you reckon that's more controversial than Bellamy's golf swing? Probably is, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I was going to say the Suarez dive in front of Moyes.
Nice.
I love that. I genuinely laughed so much.
I remember I put up, I think I must have put it on Instagram for my brother's birthday, actually, about the Fowler line thing. Me and Ol used to play football in the garden and do that celebration without even knowing what it meant.
Oh, wow. Yeah. There it is, the footballer inspiration. Yeah. All right. So, memorable moments up next. There's probably quite a few, but tell me about some of your most memorable moments. Not necessarily games, but just strange/funny things that have happened that you just haven't forgotten.
This one actually came to me. I had a different one lined up. But given that we're on video for this one, it seems an appropriate time. This is the first time our listeners will have ever seen what we look like. Obviously, you may or may not agree, but some people have said I look like Luis Suarez. A lot of people.
I know where you're going. I was with you for this.
Yeah. So we went to see Liverpool Barca. Was it pre-season 15-16 or 16-17? I can't remember. At Wembley, Liverpool played Barcelona.
16-17, I think.
Anyway, I pulled a sickie from work. I hope no one's listening, but because I thought it may well be my only chance to see Messi play, having missed him the one time I saw Barcelona play during his time. But Suarez was also obviously at Barcelona. Half time, go to get a drink in Wembley, and a really pissed Liverpool fan was just chanting the Luis Suarez song at me, asking for photos. About 15 people came and asked me for my photo, singing the Luis Suarez song. Filmed the whole thing on my phone, and it didn't save.
I honestly think...
Urine stitches.
Yeah, well, firstly, it was one of the funniest things I've seen. Like, hundreds.
It was probably more than 15 around. Or 20. Yeah. It was loads
it was
of people
hundreds.
Crowding
like
around
everyone
me.
Everyone started singing it.
Yeah, yeah.
The people at the back probably didn't know it was about you. But it just caught on.
There was
it?
A chorus secondly, of the Suarez song. Yeah,
yeah. I can't believe I didn't film it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just pissing
you
myself
were just in stitches,
much,
yeah.
But that was a special moment.
It was. The worst thing about it was the bastard that started it, not my drink over as well.
You could have been a viral sensation.
Could be
very different right now.
I was actually searching Instagram for like
I'm quite
hashtag
didn't,
Suarez lookalike.
Yeah,
couldn't find
didn't
anything.
Turn up.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything else that particularly sticks out?
What, memorable moments?
Memorable moments.
I've always loved and have never been able to find on the internet. So if you find it or you have a copy of it or a photo of it, then let me know. But do you remember Antonio Nunez?
Yeah, yeah. A little Spaniard.
The Spaniard in the swap deal
one
for Michael
Owen. Boys, yeah.
When he came on, it was a televised game and he came up, got substituted on late in the game. He had his shorts on back to front. And I cannot find any footage of this on the internet, but remember it clearly. So if anyone knows of it, then send it in.
What a
yeah.
He was one
he
of
was
those players
well.
That I'd also class in one of the worst players we've had.
The real disappointment, because he was in the swap deal for Owen, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Him, Jan Kronkamp, and
Hossamy
down the right. We had a load of shit.
Rafa was quite prone to buying a shitter, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Mm. He was. One of the things that Crouchy talks about in his podcast is how annoyed he gets sometimes when players get a song sung about them when they don't even get on the pitch. And Nunez was one of them.
Yeah, he was in the Rafa Benitez
song.
Yeah.
So the two things that stick out in my mind, the first one was the beach ball, the Pepe Reina beach ball. Darren Bent, wasn't it?
Darren Bent, yeah.
I just, the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, I think, in actual football.
I can't really think of a similar incident like that. It was ridiculous, yeah.
And all those little like social things going around about the beach ball getting inserted everywhere.
Yeah,
it plagued me for fucking years.
I would have loved it if it was an opponent though. Do you know what I mean? If it happened to Man United, I'd have loved it.
Imagine if it was Suarez scoring against United.
Oh yeah.
It would be
unreal.
One of the best moments of my life. But secondly, and it's a bit bleak this one, but Risa breaking Alan Smith's leg with a free kick.
That was bizarre. Yeah, yeah.
Like one of the most it basically ruined his career, didn't it? And Alan Smith was one of the United players that I actually quite liked.
Yeah, I quite liked Alan Smith as well. They dropped him back into midfield then as well. And he had a bit
of
a resurgence.
He lost his pace and But what?
That was such a weird,
weird
football memory. Yeah.
Thunderbolt from Risa. So let's talk about live experiences. What's the best live experience you've had, either at Anfield or at an away game?
Yeah, hands down away end against Pompey. in 08-09, which, again, listeners probably will have picked up by now. 08-09 is my favourite season to date, other than this one, of course. But, yeah, away end, Fratton Park, 3-2, late victory. Fernando Torres, my boy. Absolute mad scenes at Fratton Park, which is a good little stadium.
I was there as well, atmosphere.
Yeah, you were there, yeah.
Yeah. Anything else? Any other games particularly stick out?
What, in terms of atmosphere?
Just best game you've seen live. I know what the worst is. Do you remember our hangover experience?
Yeah, yeah. The worst. Oh,
it was fucking Palace.
I was at the... I can't remember which season it was now, but it would have been probably 2010. When do you remember when Kyriakos got sent off against Everton for the two-foot tackle on Fellaini when they both two-footed each other at the same time and Fellaini got injured? Yeah, that one. 1-0 derby win. Dirt cap header. That was a good memory. Good atmosphere, yeah.
So...
You?
The best... My favourite game I've seen live was the Zenit v Liverpool game.
Yeah.
Holt scored from a Carragher mistake
very early on,
and then hat-trick, and then Suarez banged in two superb free kicks. And we actually went out that night, but it was one of those moments where you needed one more goal.
Yeah.
And the place, Anfield, was just absolutely buzzing. And Suarez was on like a one-man mission to basically just beat the world, as he used to. It was incredible. If you haven't seen it, YouTube it, watch that game back, because it's a special game. Secondly, I have to say, being there this year, the Merseyside derby.
Oh yeah, you're eager. I forgot you were there.
I dropped everything. I had my drink knocked out of my hand. I was jumping on people in front of me. People were just like crowd surfing over me.
Didn't you say that Nicola's dad had left?
Jim,
who you were with, had left as well. You're on your own.
Yeah, Nicola's dad. He'd gone to get a flight, so he missed the last 5 minutes. And I was weighing up, like, should I go with him? Should I stick it out? So I was on the fence.
Yeah,
and
thank
fuck I stayed, because that would have killed me.
Another hungover Anfield experience for you, though.
Yeah, I was in much better shape then.
Better shape, yeah. What a ridiculous... Again, like, you talk about the beach ball, the Divock Origi goal in that game, the double bounce off the crossbar.
And it could be absolutely pivotal.
It could. It's genuinely one of the funniest things I've ever seen happen in a football match. Yeah.
It can happen to a better club as well.
There you go. I was just having a Google, actually, just to remind myself what the score was. I was actually at a game. I don't even remember what the score had finished as. But do you remember when Hodgson's Liverpool 2010 played Napoli at Anfield and we were 1-0 down, and then Gerrard came off the bench and scored a hat-trick?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that, actually.
I was there for that. And that was one of those games where you're just I'm witnessing a fantastic player here. Like,
I mean, those sort of teams that he played with, he must have just been thinking, what am I fucking doing?
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing? I've got Paul Konchesky playing at left back. My midfield partner is some mug like Christian Poulsen.
His midfield partner that day was some mug like Christian Poulsen, Jay Spearing and Jonjo Shelvey.
I mean,
cameraman James
is
laughing. Up top, Milan Jovanovic with David and Gog.
Oh my God. And is that a Champions League game?
It was Europa League. Rayner, Glenn Johnson, Konchesky, Kyriakos, Carragher.
That is laughable.
Rama Reyes, Spearing, Christian Poulsen, where we are now, Jovanovic and Gog.
It's a testament to where we are now, really, isn't it? That although we don't have someone as iconic as Gerrard, the squad is just in much better shape.
Yeah,
Jay Spearing wouldn't get anywhere near the squad now.
No.
All right, so let's finish on the best game you've just seen then in general. So not necessarily live. Like, what's your favourite Liverpool game? I've
Bloody
got a
hell.
Clear winner here.
Do you want to start? Go on.
I'll start. Mm. It's the game in 2008 against Arsenal. It's the Champions League quarterfinals.
Yeah.
And we beat them 4-2 to go through. And it's the game where Theo Walcott came in. And he dribbled around the whole fucking team and banged it. And I stood up and lobbed a shot glass in it and shattered it at that time. I was watching it at a mate's house. And... Gerrard again scored to make it 3-2, and then they were all over us, and like the people I was with giving it all the shit. I think I was with you, actually.
Yeah, I was with you. Yeah.
And Babel broke free and buried it, and I went absolutely mad. I was bundling on people. I was literally standing up, just going nuts at all.
You
these
loved Babel,
Arsenal
didn't you?
Fans.
Yeah, and that is sweet when you find yourself watching a game in a pub with fans who are supporting the opposition, as it increasingly seems to be happening to us. Whoever I go and watch Liverpool with, if they're not a Liverpool fan, they want the opposition to win at the moment.
But that
game was full of that, wasn't it? Arsenal fans and I mean, for me, you've got to look. It's Like, there are lots from before the time when we used to be able to have a drink with the game. Like, the Newcastle 4-3 is phenomenal. But something totally changes in football when you're able to watch with mates having a drink or at the stadium, you know. So, for me, it's the Champions League quarterfinals and semifinals this year. They were just phenomenal games of football.
That one at the Regent that we're in, so it's a pub in Balham, South London. We went to the Regent. It was stacked full of Liverpool fans.
Yeah, it's almost a Liverpool sports bar, isn't it?
Two City fans standing next to us.
He was all right, that guy.
He was all right. Yeah. He quickly disappeared. He just like faded into the background. Pub was going mental.
Yeah,
it was like England when that we were winning in the World Cup.
Yeah, the walls were shaking.
People are on tables. I came back and I basically couldn't speak.
Yeah, that was the best pub atmosphere I've ever seen for a Liverpool game. There was the LA, LA, LA song was being rung out, people swinging flat scarves around their head and stuff. It was mad scenes.
Like, it was mad scenes, yeah.
I really, really enjoyed that, obviously, result aside, but as an experience as a whole, yeah.
Well, there we have it then. There's our trip down memory lane. Anything else you want to... I did have one more, but I couldn't actually think of an answer myself.
Go on then, try
me.
This is on the spot.
Your favourite cult hero is?
You've asked me this, Titi Camera.
No. That's your shittest player that you actually love.
Oh, I see.
Like, cult hero, someone who's actually quite good.
Lewis Garcia, Lewis Garcia is a player I loved as a person as well. There was just something vibrant about him, like always smiling, his celebration, his knack for a big goal. I don't think he was that good, really. I don't think he'd get anywhere near this team either, but Lewis Garcia was like a symbol of good times.
Yeah, he was. I really struggled to find anyone who I thought...
Sammy? You love Sammy.
Sammy, yeah. Was he a cult hero? Yeah,
not really. He was more of a calm...
He's quite reserved. Yeah. The only player I could think of in my head was Bert Moreno. he's rubbish.
Bert Moreno should have been your answer to a player you love. Not on footballing terms, but we...
Yeah, but Pacheco, I can't steer away from Pacheco.
Pacheco's no cult
figure. I used to
sign
him on Football Manager and play with him on FIFA, even though he was shit, just to have him.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'll tell you what, Bobby Firmino's well on his way to becoming a future answer to that question.
True.
Bobby Firmino. Oh, and Andy
Robertson is a great shout. Yeah. That is a great shout. But he's also genuinely class.
That's the thing, as is Firmino, but you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I mean, this current squad is full of very likable players as well as very good players.
That is true. That is true. All right. So that's it. Hope you've enjoyed our first video podcast. Follow us at The Red Debate on Twitter. Instagram,
yeah, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. SoundCloud, where the blog's quite lively at the moment, www.theredebate.com, where you will also be able to find yourselves t-shirts and mugs, such as the two in front.
L-A-L-A-L-A,
indeed. We'll hopefully be getting some new ranges out. In fact, the guy, I'll put a tweet out about it and a post about it. The guy that did the graphics for the shirt and the mug, it's the same graphic, obviously, is a guy on Twitter called Liverbird. He refused to take any money from us for that design, so asked us to give it to the Owen McVeigh Foundation instead, which we did. So, so thanks to Liverbird1 on Twitter. And we'll put the hyperlink to the Beer 52 offer up on the website.
Awesome. All right, stay tuned for more videos from us.
Cheers.
Cheers.